Okay, praise God. You don't have to ask their mailing address or telephone right now. You can reserve it for this afternoon for lunchtime, okay? You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. How about big hands to the Lord? Big hands to the Lord. And I'd like to thank again everybody here and for being here. And I'd like to thank the music ministry for their beautiful music. Praise God. And I'd like to thank all the workers, the organizers of this conference and this retreat. And we praise the Lord for that. How about big hands to the Lord, huh? Amen. Thank you, Lord. And before I start, I'd like to for all of us to pray this prayer, pleading the blood of Jesus, okay? Can we say this prayer together? Father, by the blood of Jesus, let every physical and spiritual burden on my shoulders be lifted now in Jesus' name. Lord, I send the Spirit in the blood of Jesus into every spiritual realm of wickedness where my life is being discussed and manipulated. Let the blood scatter them in Jesus' name. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my home. Let it put a bloodline protection round about my home in Jesus' name. Father, just as the blood of the Passover shielded the Israelites from destruction in Egypt, let the blood of Jesus Christ shield me from all forms of destruction. Father, let the Spirit in the blood of Jesus arise now and fight my battles for me in the name of Jesus. Father, let the blood of Jesus destroy every power assigned to follow me in order to hinder my progress in the name of Jesus. Father, where blood has been shed in order to bring a negative covenant into effect in my life and family, let the blood of Jesus neutralize it today in Jesus' name. Okay, now I put down some people will pray the following prayers and will never know poverty again. Many will be healed from even terminal diseases and they will have testimonies. Confess all sins known and unknown, conscious and unconscious, parental, inherited, martial sins. God has all powers in his hands and is ready to move even right there where you are. Just believe God for more, for the move of his power in your life. So the continuation of prayer. Next, prayer points, okay? Let us pray this prayer together. Blood of Jesus, deliver me by fire in the name of Jesus. I command all my blessings confiscated by rulers of darkness to be released in the name of Jesus. I cut myself off from every territorial spirit in the name of Jesus. I command all demonic reverse gears installed to hinder my progress to be roasted in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, bear all my physical and spiritual burdens now in the name of Jesus. Every power stealing my virtues, die in the name of Jesus. Every power in the heavenlies, on earth, and in the seas, hindering the angel of my blessings, die in the name of Jesus. Any power diverting the blessing of God away from me, your time is up. Die now in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, every owner of evil load, carry your load in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, pursue my pursuers in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, arise and fight my battles in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, pursue every poverty out of my life in the name of Jesus. Every power assigned to follow me, to destroy me, die in the name of Jesus. Every power that aims to inflict harm and destruction to my family members, die in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Every entity and every power that molest and cause division and recriminations and illnesses and afflictions in my family members, die in Jesus' name and by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. My brothers and sisters, I have this book that I wrote 2 years ago. It came out last year, Miracles Never Ending. And many people told me that the prayers. We have three prayers in the back of the book, and they said that they got healed by praying the prayers every day. I said, praise God, nothing is impossible for the Lord. The Lord can use anything to effect healing. Amen? Amen. Even a book, you know. So I have topics like here in the book, it's the encounter with the divine, the call to the healing ministry, hunger for God, and the different charisms of healing and prayer for healing, how to pray for healing and achieve results. There's a chapter on Can I Be a Miracle Worker? And then miraculous healing of cancer, how to pray for healing of cancer, miraculous healing of blindness and other disease, and so on and so forth. Like, maybe I believe most of the diseases have been covered in this book, like also testimonies and prayers for healing. And it's available there for $16. And sometime today, during break time or lunch time or dinner time, if you want, we can have a book signing. You know, I can sign the book for you. So it's available. Miracles Never Healing, Never Ending. Miracles Never Ending. And I'm writing another book. It's called Amazing Power from On High. It's about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some testimonies and all of that. So I hope and I pray that the book will be out before Thanksgiving this year. You know, it takes me time because, you know, I've been traveling a lot. And so I've been asking the Lord to give me time to finish the book. Okay. Anyway, praise God. Last night, there were five people whom we prayed for healing for deafness, right? Five of them. And only one came back to give glory to the Lord. Where are the other four? Only one came back to give glory to the Lord. And this one is from Wheeling, Virginia. How about the other four? Are they here? Yeah, what happened, brother? You're going to testify this evening. Okay, how about the other three? Where are they? Our sister here gave a testimony. How about the other two? At least four or five? Four. How about the other two? Where are they? They left? Where are the other two? Please raise yes. Yeah, you gave a testimony, right? Not yet? You did. How about the other two? Oh, she did. Yeah, okay. So later on, we'll ask for a testimony from you, okay? This afternoon. I'd like to call on our brother Patrick Campbell. Patrick was an eyewitness during our conference in New Orleans, right? And also in Santa Clara, California. You like to share with us what you have witnessed, Patrick? Maybe you can use a mic so that they can hear clearly. How about here? Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Clearly here. Last night, I'm so sorry that I forgot to turn on this mic here that I'm wearing. So you when I step out from the podium, they could not hear me. But now it's all turned on. So, okay, oh, yeah. Patrick.
Hello, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you again. Our family loves you. As you know, that we're a traveling missionary family, so we travel to like around the United States and Canada 3 times a year, and we've hit almost every charismatic healing conference known to man. We've been to exactly almost every state, and we've seen a lot of healers. And now, these healers, you know by their fruits. And one thing that I've noticed that was different from Bob was, you know, when the tree needs to start, it needs a lot of manure, and it needs a lot of, you know, a lot of things have to happen to that little acorn to grow into a tree to bear fruit. And you can tell that that Bob is a servant of God by how the Lord has humbled him and has used him as an empty vessel so he can be proclaimed and the Lord can work more profoundly through him. The other healers that I've seen that are very powerful, I won't name names, but they always start with something small and little, like a pinky. Okay, does anyone have anything wrong with their pinkies? Does anyone have anything wrong with an itch? Let's get rid of the itches first to build the people's faith. One of the things that I noticed, because I've been meeting up with Brother Bob, is he goes right for the gusto. And you can, you know, he's like, okay, Lord, who's in a wheelchair? And he went right after the person in the wheelchair. Now, this person that was in this wheelchair was sitting with our family the whole night. And she was paralyzed in her legs. And she was complaining. She says, well, I really hope I get healed. I hope I get healed. Bob goes right, that was his first introduction. Right after they introduced him, he said, okay, who's in a wheelchair? This woman came up, and he said, stand up. Jesus says, stand up. And she bolted up out of her wheelchair. And then he goes, now run. And the woman took off sprinting. Bob had to call her back and said, hey, come back, come back. She was running down the hall. She couldn't believe it herself. The mother who was wheeling her, you know, said, I think I need, you know, another healing. And, you know, this is over and over. It's just not one conference. The souls that God uses are very, very special. He wants to use all of us. But most of us, you know, we have, like myself, have a problem saying yes and giving ourselves fully over to God. But the ones that he does, we shouldn't be jealous of how Bob is used because God has had to purify him. He had to work at him. Last night he was sharing to me different times that the Lord has allowed him to be humiliated in large crowds so he can work more profoundly through him. So whenever we realize that we're humiliated in a situation, we got to know that God exalts the humble. He can only use the humble. And I am here to testify on behalf of our family that when you all heard that Joy was healed after 12 years of that back injury, and we have the CAT scans, when she came out to proclaim that healing a couple years ago, no, it was last year, Satan attacked her. Our dog, she was walking her dog, and he pulled her. And what happened was that spine twisted, and there was a little bit of fluid that came out, and there was nothing they could do. The doctor said she was going to be in severe pain for 9 months. And we travel thousands and thousands of miles, and they said, don't travel. But I knew Bob was going to be at the conference in Louisiana, and I said, we got to try to get there. And I came up to Bob. I said, Bob, you got to pray for my wife. And before you know it, Bob left whatever he was doing and came over to Joy. And Joy said, can you pray over me? And boom, there it goes. She was healed. So it's the faith that you bring. It's Jesus that's working through Bob. And, you know, it's contagious. I think if I spend more time with Bob, I'll become more holy. So, because God wants to spread that healing power. So I just wanted to testify that you have to open your hearts and let God be God. Take him out of that box and says, Lord, I allow you to do whatever you need to do. I surrender to you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you. And by the way, Patrick, God willing, I'll be in Toronto, Canada on the 25th of this month. So you're going to be there?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see you there, God willing. Praise God. Yes. Now, my topic this morning is how to remove the roadblocks to healing. You know, I say, first of all, I would like to say that yes, I have seen many miracles, signs and wonders, restoration, wholeness, many healings. You know, the Lord is really active in the world today. The Holy Spirit is touching people left and right in amazing ways. Ways where, you know, it's so profound and amazing. I said, Lord, please don't ever lay me off from this ministry of healing. Because every time I witness this, I get excited, you know. I mean, lifted up. It always lifts up my faith. You know, like, you know, I've seen all of these healings, you know, over and over and over again. But every time I see it, I get so excited. I'm elated, and there's no feeling like it, you know, because you see, you witness the living God's action. Jesus is real. He's alive. The Holy Spirit is very active in the world today. And if only people realize that the Lord wants all of us to come to Him and believe in Him and ask Him and receive His healing grace. But anyway, my brothers and sisters, I would also say that not everybody whom I laid hands on was healed. There's some people who didn't get healed. And I have some reasons why some people were not healed. There's some roadblocks to healing. Okay? So, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, can we put that on? Well, that's Pope Benedict, of course, and Pope Francis on the picture. I had a blessing to have a private audience with them, with the two popes. Pope Benedict was in 2011 while he was still pope, and Pope Francis was in 2014. Of course, at the time, I was one of the council members of the International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services based in the Vatican. And it was such a blessing to have met with these two holy people, you know, two holy men. And he told me, Pope Francis told me in 2014, when I asked him, when are you going to the United States as Holy Father? And he said, in 2015. So I think I was the first among those who knew at the time that he was coming to the U.S., you know, a year before he actually came. And he told me that he was going to the Philippines also at that time. And it was a very big blessing to have talk with him face to face. And I asked him to bless me and bless my ministry. And you know, and I, before I met these two holy people here, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please, I would like to ask you that all my relatives, all my friends, every person that I have met in this world will be present spiritually when I meet with your holy servant. So every person that I met, I brought them in before the Holy Father, before God, you know. So, but it was just a privilege. Okay, so, that picture on the left side with Cardinal Bertone, he was the Secretary of State at that time when we met him. And we were in Casa, where the what's the name of that place now? Starts with casa, something, a house. It was in the Vatican, and he invited us to meet with him, and so he gave us the papal rosary, you know, blessed by the Pope, the rosary blessed by the Pope, and he encouraged us as council, ICRIS council members, to continue to work for ICRES and to serve the Catholic Charismatic Renewal worldwide. At that, my term had expired last year. I represented the English-speaking North America, Central America, and the Caribbean countries. That time, I still belong to ICRES and in the finance committee. I'm still an active member. As a member of the Finance Committee of ICRES. And the last meeting that we're going to have as ICRES will be next year in Rome. I believe in March of 2019. But what a privilege to serve in that capacity. Okay? Praise God. Okay, now let's go on with the teaching on how to remove the roadblocks to healing. I decided to put this on PowerPoint because I noticed some of you would like to take notes. So I think it's better if I put it on PowerPoint, on the screen, so that you can write anything you want to write on. Amen? Now, removing the roadblocks to healing. Okay, so number one roadblock is, can we escape that? I think so that we can cover more of the roadblocks. But okay, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Okay, next, brother. Takes time, huh? In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, we read how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by evil spirits, for God was with him. Okay, can we go on the first roadblock, please? Yeah, can we go on? Can we click another page, Jim? Now, okay, next, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. In Mark 16, verses 17 to 18, Jesus says, and these signs will follow those who believe. He said, in my name, they will be able to cast out demons. They will be able to speak with new languages. You will be able to handle serpents, and if they drink deadly poison, they will not be harmed, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Amen? So in other words, my brothers and sisters, the requirements are that if we use his name, okay, then we will be able to cast out demons, be able to speak new languages, be able to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So in other words, the name of Jesus is power. Amen? And if you believe in his name, use his name to do the works of Jesus. He is the divine healer. His will is for us to walk in divine health and to be healed. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come to give you life and have it abundantly. Amen? So, number one, blockage. Okay, brother, next page. Unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, resentment. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, Jesus says, when you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions. You know, my brothers and sisters, I had an experience. When I was conducting a healing crusade in Japan, in Tokyo, and we had it in a big convention center, and I was laying hands on this man, and I was laying hands on him, the Lord spoke into my heart. You see, when I lay hands on the sick, I would not, you know, not only just mouth off words unto the sick, I also have my ears, the ears of my heart, you know, cock on the words of the Lord, listening on the words from the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke into my heart, and he said, tell him to forgive his sister. And now that's the first time I've seen the man. So I laid hands on him, and I told him, brother, the Lord just spoke into my heart, and he wants you to forgive your sister. And he looked at me, he says, my sister? No way. I could not forgive her. I said, what happened, brother? Why can't you forgive her? And he said, she caused a lot of problems in the family. Because of her, we believe that our mother died because of her. She's a black sheep in the family. She caused a lot of trouble in the family. We hate her. I said, well, remember what the Lord says. The Lord says, when you make your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has sinned against you, leave your offering at the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother or sister. I just add sister, okay? But the scripture says brother, right? So brother or sister, you have to forgive. And I said, it's a decision that you have to make. I said, don't go with feelings. Feelings will follow later. But you have to decide to forgive. It's a matter of the will to forgive. Of course, she doesn't probably deserve to be forgiven, but the words of God, the words of Jesus are very clear. Forgive your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them. If they strike you on one cheek, offer the one as well. Right? And so I talked to him about that, and I said, by the way, brother, you know, if you cannot forgive, I said, then I might not as well continue my prayers for you, for healing, because we can pray until the cows come home. If you don't forgive, then it will not do us any good, right? So I said, just think about that. I said, it's a decision that you have to make. You know, don't go with feelings first. Ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to forgive. And if you're ready to forgive, let me know. So I went on to the next person, you know, went on. And, you know, I did not pray over him because he said, no way I could forgive. So I let him think about it first. And then later on, he came to me and said, yeah, I have decided to forgive my sister. I said, okay. So I said, you know, forgiveness means that you don't have to talk to her right away or be close to her right away. I said, if you want to do that, that's for another day. But now, you just ask the Lord to help you forgive her. And forgiveness is, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not wishing to do harm, to take vengeance against the person who have hurt you. I said, the best sign that you have forgiven your enemy is when you
could pray for that person from your heart. You wish what is good for that person. That is a sign that you have forgiven that person. And he said, well, I'll try my best. I said, yeah, try your best. Ask the Lord, you know, have the decision to forgive her. So I prayed over him. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, oh, I got back pain for 20 years. It's been painful. And I got a locked jaw. I said, I thought to myself, maybe the locked jaw was caused by his anger. You know, he probably, every time he thinks about his sister, he just probably grind his teeth. You know, that's why he had locked jaw. I said, Lord, touch this locked jaw. And so I led him into the forgiveness prayer. And I said, pray this prayer from your heart. You know, and I said, work this thing out, you know. As I said, I told him that if you want to be reconciled with your sister, to be in a good relationship again, to renew your relationship, that's another day. But as long as you don't have any animosity towards her, and the feelings of anger and bitterness be gone, you know. And so that's what my prayers for him. And later on, you know, I found out that his one leg was shorter than the other. So I prayed over those legs, and one leg that's shorter than the other just straightened out. And I said, walk in Jesus' name. And he started to walk. And I said, oh, the pain disappeared. The pain disappeared. And I said, I said, look at that. Your other leg was shorter than the other. And she said, yeah, I noticed. And it just grew out. Amazing things. Amen? Praise God. I said, see, I mean, your body now has, you know, because of you decided to forgive, it has become more relaxed. And of course, the Lord's grace came unto you because of that, because of your willingness to forgive. So, my brothers and sisters, it's hard to do, you know, like to forgive your enemy is hard to do. But remember in the book of Romans chapter 12, what does Romans chapter 12 say? The Lord, in one passage says, you know, it should not be an eye for an eye, right? A tooth for a tooth. He said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay. Vengeance is mine. So if somebody has done wrong to you, just pray for that person. You know, because the Lord, now do not say, Lord, your words say that vengeance is mine, I shall repay. Lord, punish that person. No, we should not say that. Just leave it to the Lord, right? Leave it to the hands of the Lord. If you have been done wrong, if somebody has done wrong to you, give it to the Lord. But remember, he said, vengeance is mine, I shall repay. If something has done, or if somebody has done injustice to you, leave it to God's hands. Do not take it upon yourself. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Can you imagine if we had that kind of attitude? A tooth, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, everybody would be blind and toothless. Amen? So we need to forgive bitterness, you know, anger. Like one time, this lady in Baltimore, I was giving a talk there in Baltimore in a conference, and we were praising the Lord. We were, you know, lifting up the Lord, the praise and worship. They were really very strong. And this lady had manifested evil spirit in her. She was manifesting the spirit in her, spirits of anger. She was rolling on the floor, and she was very angry. And I heard her shouting these words, I hate you. It was a spirit of hate. I said, I went up to her. I said, Lord, just give her the peace. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of hate to be gone from her in Jesus' name. And then she came down. I talked to her. I said, it seemed like you have a spirit of hate. She said, yes, that's true. I said, what happened? And she said, you know what? I hate my husband with a passion. I hate also his girlfriend with a passion. I said, what happened? He said, my husband, he was 58 years old. He went to the Philippines on vacation. And then he met this 25 years old. And he fell in love with this woman. And he left me for that woman. I hate him. I could not forgive him. And I hate that woman with a passion. I said, well, just give it to the Lord. You know, because hatred opens the door for the enemy to attack you. You know that? If you have hatred in your heart, resentment in your heart, you open the door for the evil one to attack you. I said, that's what happened to you. You've been attacked by the enemy because of that hatred. So I said, go to confession. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. I said, you know what? Every time, I said, do you go to church? She says, yeah, on Sunday. And when you are in church during a mass, we pray to Our Father, right? And you say in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right? We pray that prayer. I said, if you have hatred in your heart, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, since every time you pray that prayer, you commit a sin. So you better go to confession. And I said, ask the Lord to set you free from the bondage of hatred and resentment. And it prevents, by the way, it's a big roadblock to healing. Unforgiveness is. So if you have been praying for healing and you don't get healed, even though the healing minister has been praying for you for months and until he's blue in the face and you still not get healed, maybe there's a resentment in your heart. Maybe there's unforgiveness, hatred in your heart. It blocks the healing power of God. So examine yourself. Have I forgiven my mother-in-law? How many of you here don't like your mother-in-law? Nobody. Everybody loves your mother-in-law. Right? I think Father Patsy is right. And he told me, Bob, everybody in this group loves their mother-in-law. You know? You're right, Father, you know. How about your sister-in-law? How many of you don't like your sister-in-law? Nobody, huh? Everybody loves your sister-in-law. Your brother-in-law also. You know, one time I asked that question. I said, who among you here loves your mother-in-law? Nobody raised their hand. During the break time, this lady came up to me and she says, Bob, she says, I hate my mother-in-law. I said, really? She said, yeah. But I said, how come you didn't raise your hand? She said, because she's here. I didn't want her to know. Anyway, okay. So let's go on, okay?
Let's go on. I was told that we have to finish the talk by, 12:30? So we better make it fast, okay? I have about... can you imagine? I have about 12 here. It's in the, luckily, praise God, it's in the book. So you can buy the book and you can read the rest of them, okay? I just select what I think is the most important. Now they are all important, but I just selected here that's the most common blockage, okay? And another blockage to healing is unrepented sin or habitual sin. The Catechism of the Catholic Church defines sin as an offense against reason, truth, and right conscience. It is a failure in genuine love for God and neighbor caused by a perverse attachment to certain goods. It has been defined by Saint Augustine as an utterance, a deed, or a desire contrary to the eternal law. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Saint Paul says, the wages of sin is death. So unrepented and habitual sin is a major block to God healing a person. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the word of God says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. So remember the time when Jesus healed this man by the pool of Bethsaida? Remember? What happened? You know, this man was lame, right? He could not walk, and he has been lame for how many years? How many years? 20? Any number? 20? No. 38 years. Long time, right? And Jesus came up to him, and this man had all kinds of excuses. He said, oh, when the pool was stirred up, or, you know, and there's always somebody there ahead of me, right? Nobody put me in there, you know. He had made a lot of excuses, right? Because they believed at the time that the angel would stir up the water in the pool beside us, and that if you go into the pool, you get healed of any illnesses. But, you know, as this man was giving Jesus a lot of excuses, what did Jesus say? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And then this man did what Jesus told him. And then later on, Jesus saw him in the temple gate, right? What did Jesus tell him? What did Jesus tell him? If you can guess, Father Patsy will take you to lunch free of charge. Right, Father? Free of charge, right? Okay. What did Jesus tell him? Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you. Do not sin anymore. So habitual sin and repentant sin will block the healing grace of God.
So my brothers and sisters, you know, do you know that one of the common and habitual sin that people have is addiction to pornography, right? Many people are being addicted to pornography. I read statistics. It's very, very shocking. 75% of men are being addicted to pornography. 75% of the men. And then also women. There's women also that are being addicted to pornography. You know, I thought it's only 1 or 2% of the women, right? That's what I thought. Wrong. How many per, what's the percentage of women being addicted to pornography? Can you guess? Pardon? Huh? 40%? You are close. 42% of the women are being addicted to pornography. Can you imagine? It was very shocking. You know, people say, well, nothing wrong with that. You know, it doesn't harm anyone. It doesn't harm anyone. It doesn't cause us to, you know, it's not really a sin. Some people say it's not a sin. You know, many people have lost a sense of sin. It's not a sin. You know, it is. It's condemned by the church. Let me read what the Catholic Church say about pornography, okay?
Let me read it. Let me see here. It says that, I put a note here, but it's being condemned by the Catholic Church. And, you know, pornography is being blamed for many, like rapes, breakup of marriages, sexual abuse of children, and blames of pornography is being blamed for the cause of many, many crimes, murder, divorces, high rate of divorces. And by the way, I read something that if a person would watch pornographic materials, pornographic pictures, it causes damage to the brain. Have you read about that? It causes damage to your brain. Every time you look at those pornographic materials. My brothers and sisters, it's very harmful. Harmful. Yeah. So sexual sins are very prevalent nowadays. You know, we have premarital sex, extramarital sex, same gender sex. We have prostitution, you know, rise of prostitution, rise of HIVs are blamed on pornography. No, so it's a scourge of society, my brothers and sisters. Habitual sin. And people say, no, it's not a sin anymore. Can you imagine that? It's not a sin. But it is. As I said, it's being blamed by many, it's blamed for many crimes that are committed. Rapes and sexual abuse of minors or even adults, you know, and divorces and all of that. So anyway, that's why we need to confess our sins. And confess our sins and then ask the Lord for strength not to commit the sin again. It's an addiction. Pornography, a person is addicted to pornography. I think he needs deliverance or a person needs counseling. And, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. So my brothers and sisters, we cannot just put it under the rug and say, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's a harmless one, but it's not harmless. As I said, it causes a lot of problems in society. It causes a lot of problems. And also, I would mention about also one of the blockages to healing is taking the body and the blood of the Lord unworthily. Unworthily. As I said, you know, I've noticed that, I'm not judging, I'm just noticing, I'm just observing. During Mass, during communion, like almost everybody goes to communion, right? But then if you go to a in our parish, for instance, every Saturday there's confession from 4 to 5. Hardly nobody there goes to confession. How come almost everybody during Mass, during communion, almost everybody comes and receives the body and blood of Jesus? I mean, I'm not judging, of course. I mean, I'm just observing. I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical about that, you know. Do you think that some of those people receive the body and blood of Jesus unworthily? What do you think? How come hardly anybody goes to confession, but almost everybody goes to communion, receive the body and blood of Christ every Mass? What do you think, Father Andy?
I think everybody that goes is unworthy. We say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, the church says we have to go to confession at least once a year, right? At least once a year. But I would say we should go to confession at least once a month. You know, when I was, when we have an Eucharist meeting, one time, you know, Cardinal, not Cardinal Bertoni, but he's the president of Congregation of Faith. He came to sit with us in our Eucharist meeting. And somebody came up to him and asked him, Your Eminence, how often does the Pope goes to confession? And he said, I heard him say, at least once a week. He goes to confession at least once a week. I thought to myself, if the Pope goes to confession once a week, I think I should go every day. Right? But the thing is, yeah, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 30, St. Paul says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are ill and infirm, and a considerable number are dying. Receiving the body and the blood of Jesus unworthily, my brothers and sisters, has some grave consequences. We have to be under grace when receiving communion. If we receive communion in a worthy manner, it is a source of healing. Source of healing and restoration and grace. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our Christian life. So, I think that's a blockage. Well, not I think. It is one of the blockages to healing. Taking the body and the blood of the Lord unworthily. And St. Paul says it even causes sickness and infirmity. Receiving the body and blood of Jesus unworthily. Especially if you have mortal sin, God forbid, and you didn't confess your sin. You know, a person can suffer a grave consequence or consequences. Amen? I don't hear you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So, another blockage to healing, another blockage, involvement with occultism. Occultism. How do you find occult or occultism? Is it on the... Jim, is it on the PowerPoint? Okay. Now, occultism or occult is defined as something, what, mysterious, right? Something mysterious. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, the Lord God says, "Let there not be found among you anyone who immolates his son or daughter in the fire, nor a fortune teller, soothsayer, charmer, diviner, or caster of spells, nor one who consults ghosts and spirits or seeks oracles from the dead. Anyone who does such things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of such abominations, the Lord your God is driving these nations out of your way." So, yeah, that's another. Then the next one, brother. Involvement, number six. Yeah.
There are many people, they are involved in occultism, like seances, right? How many of you have participated in a seance? Seance. excuse me. Like they pray over the glass, right? And the glass will move around. Is that a seance? Ouija board, tarot cards, palm readings, fortune telling, Ouija boards, yeah. You know, excuse me. You know, one time I had a healing crusade in Toronto, Canada. And we were praising the Lord, asking the Lord for His precious blood to touch us. There were 8 teenagers. They went down on the floor and they were making weird sounds. And they were like turning, you know, crawling on the floor. Spirits were attacking them. So we had to pray for deliverance over them. And so after they calmed down, I asked them what happened to them. And they said that they were doing this tarot cards and Ouija board. So as a result, spirits attacked them. And of course, it didn't only cause them harm, but it's one of the biggest blockages to healing. Palm readings and all of that. Thank you. Thank you for the water. The Lord will not forget this. You are now in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Isn't it in the Bible? It says, if you give water to even to his servant, it says, it will never be forgotten in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, thank you. So, occultism, involvement in occult practices will block the healing grace of the Lord. So, one time, you know, this lady came up to me. She said, "Bob, you know," she said, "there's always sickness in my family." She said, "If I'm not sick, my husband is sick. If my husband is not sick, my son is sick. I don't know what's been happening." I said, "You know what? I think you're being attacked by spirits." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Let us ask the Lord. We'll pray." And I said, "I'll pray over you." And I said, I laid hands on her, and I said, "I have a vision of Buddhas. Do you have Buddha in your houses? In your house?" And she said, "Oh, Buddha? Yeah. How do you know?" I said, "The Lord showed me in a vision this picture or statues of Buddha." And she said, yes, Bob. She said, it's amazing you know about it. I said, you know, Bob, there are Buddhas outside of my house. There are jade Buddhas. And then there are Buddhas in my bedroom. I said, what for? For good luck. She believed that's for good luck. I said, no. No, there's no such thing as good luck, you know. Like getting good luck from those items, from those Buddha, whatever. I said, all we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. You don't need Buddha. Oh, really? But I said, get rid of them. Throw them away. And she said, Bob, they are very expensive. Many of them are gifts given to me. And many of them are, they have jade, you know, made of jade. They're very expensive, Bob. I said, well, it's up to you. You know, the Lord says you cannot be in one foot to be in the light, one foot to be in darkness. You cannot be hot or cold, otherwise the Lord will spit you out, you know. I said, you know the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And he said, oh, I don't know, Bob. I hate to throw away those expensive things. I said, it's up to you, you know. So anyway, I saw her again like 2 months later. And she said, Bob, I have something to tell you. I said, what? She said, you know what? I finally get rid of the Buddhas. I finally get rid of the Buddhas, the statues and all of that. And she said, you could not believe the peace in my house. You know, now I don't, you know, my husband is okay. My son is okay. We don't have any sickness anymore. I said, you know why? You brought in curses unto you. You know, if we violate the first or second commandment of God, we will pay the price. We don't need those things. Get rid of them. All we need is Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our blessing, and He is the source of our blessing. No, you don't have to ask, you know, you don't have to wear all those lucky charms or have all those items in your house to bring in good luck. All you have to do is to pray. Put crucifix instead in each room of the house. Put crucifix. You know, so I said, get rid of this. He said, yeah, Bob, I finally get rid. He says, it's hard to get rid of them, but we decided to get rid of those Buddhas, you know, and praise God. The Lord wants us well, amen? Amen. But sometimes we are hard-headed. We don't follow His words. We don't follow His commands. So anyway, my brothers and sisters, I was told that my time is up. By the way, this typo there is Deuteronomy 18, not 19, okay? It's a typo. Okay, so anyway, as I said, I have about 12 of them listed down here in the book. And if you want to get all of those possible blockages to healing, now the list is not exclusive or exhaustive, you know, or exhausted, but I have listed it down in the book. Amen. So I think it's time for lunch. Are you hungry?
Yes.
You must be, because you keep on looking at the kitchen. Now, yes, can we all stand? Can we all stand and let us pray? Yeah, everybody is looking towards the kitchen, so they must be hungry, right? Okay. Are you learning something a little bit here? Yes. Let us bow down and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the words that you have given us, because your words, Lord, they are spirit and they are life. And Lord, we ask that you continue to touch us in a mighty way. Continue to heal us, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to fill us with your spirit, to fill us with your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, I have a prompting here. Can we spare like at least 10 minutes? Is that okay? 10 minutes?
Do you still have time? 10 minutes? I have a prompting to pray over Eden here. Eden is blind on his left eye, right, Eden? Okay, now, let us ask the Lord to for the healing of Eden. Do you believe that Eden will be healed?
Yes.
Amen. Eden, are you ready to be healed?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you, who is the healer?
God.
Praise God. What is his name?
Jesus.
Jesus. Take away your eyeglasses. You know, Eden, I have seen many blind people get healed. One time I was in Brazil, and there was a man born blind. He was 18 years old. And the Lord says, touch the eyes of this man. And I was in a high stage, and I could not reach him. So what I did, I lay down on my stomach in order to touch the man. So I touched him. I said, in Jesus' name, I command the blindness to leave. And Lord, touch his eyes. And Lord, it's finished because you gave me the prompting to lay hands on him. And we prayed, and we prayed in tongues. And then later on, the man says, I can see you. Really? I can see your hair. I can see your nose. I can see your eyes. I can see everything. I said, praise God. So I said, follow what I do, if you can see me. And he followed everything I did. He followed me. You know, I raised my hands. He raised his hand. And the people said, yeah, this guy, I forgot his name, Mauricio from Brazil, was born blind. And then later on, there was another lady there. She had glaucoma, blind because of glaucoma, blind for 6 years. We prayed over her. She was able to see, you know. And amazing things. Now, Eden, if the Lord can heal this Mauricio of blindness, he has been blind since birth. How long have you been blind? Under Lippi?
Since I've been born.
Oh! Since you've been born, huh? Okay, we'll pray over you, okay? Your left eye, right? Left eye? Okay, let us pray over him. Let us extend your hands. Lord, Eden is your son, and you will for him to be healed. You will for him to have a perfect eyes. And Lord, thank you for healing Eden. In Jesus' name, Handaria, Shikalaramba, Shikalaramba, Shiandaria, Hambariandi, Shiandio. In Jesus' name, I command the blindness to be gone in the mighty name and blood of Jesus. I command the muscles in the eye to be healed. I speak of brand new cornea, brand new iris, brand new pupils, brand new lenses, in Jesus' name, brand new eyes, brand new nerves, brand new muscles in the eyes. Halara shikalaramba shiandaria, hambariandi siandio, shikalaramba shiandara, hambariandi siandio. Come Father, come Jesus, come Holy Spirit, and Lord, touch the parts of the brain that controls his eyesight, and we speak of healing and restoration and wholeness in Jesus' name. Come Father, come Jesus, come Holy Spirit. Shikalaramba siandara, hambariandi siandio. I break any curses, hexes, spells, evil wishes, evil desires, any inheritance of blindness that's in his bloodlines. I rebuke it, command it to be gone completely in Jesus' name. And I speak of miracles and healings and restoration into his eyes in Jesus' name. Brand new eyes in Jesus' name. Brand new eyes in Jesus' name. Brand new eyes. Lord, let your name be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. We cry out to you, Lord. And we praise you. And we thank you. And we glorify your name. Only good things and greetings be upon Eden in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we seal the healing of Eden in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and with the blood of Jesus. Do unto him what you did to the blind in Jericho. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Now, Eden, close your
right eye, okay? Put it, now, focus your eyes on me, the left eye. If you can see me, follow what I do. Follow. You like to dance? Can you see me? Really? Wow. Praise God. Lindsay, can you come and examine him? Go this way, and Kay, go ahead. Follow her, follow your mom, if you can see her, okay? Follow her. Praise God. You're crying? It's okay. It's okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing at all is impossible. And we'll pray for, you know, do we have a corpse here you can bring in? A dead man or a dead woman? I'm just kidding. Somebody asked me, Bob, have you prayed for a corpse before? I said, where? In the funeral parlor? I said, no, because I might get sued for disturbing the peace. Supposing the family has already decided what kind of, the heirloom that you have to get. And they're going to be mad at you, right? Okay, can we bless the food?
Yes.
Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for healing us and touching us in a mighty way. And together let us pray. Bless us, O Lord, and this thy gift we are about to receive from your bounty to Christ our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. By the way, I had the opportunity to pray for the dead. And the dead actually live. You know, I will share that with you later on this afternoon session, okay? Wow. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Eden, how you doing, brother? You're crying. It's okay to cry. It's okay. Don't wear your eyeglasses. The eyeglasses is for, see? Don't try not to wear it. For now, and see, okay? I'm sure you are healed completely in Jesus' name. Well, thank the Lord. He's the one who healed. All I did is to pray for healing. And, everybody. Now you cannot say, oh, Bob prayed. Everybody prayed for him, amen? All our prayers, the Lord heard. The Lord cannot turn us down, right? Amen? Okay. Okay, then. God bless you. God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, big hands to the Lord, huh? Big hands to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have a nice lunch. Have a nice lunch, and we'll be back here this afternoon, okay?